It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelk.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, or hit us up on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. Big Blue Kickoff Live comes your way every weekday morning on Giants.com at 9:30. Thanks for joining us this morning. And big news. Got a lot of calls on Monday, complaints over the weekend that Giant fans wanted a splash signing. They wanted a name. They wanted a difference maker. Well, you got it. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is now a member of the New York Football Giants. A 5-year contract worth anywhere from between $35 to $39 million, depending on what report you look at. Apparently, the contract amount, if these reports are correct, would change based on incentives and things of that nature over the course of the deal. Now, yesterday I came on this show, and I said I wouldn't be a huge fan of a long-term 5-year deal for a guy like Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. And I still agree that there are a certain amount of risky factors in a signing like this. Rodgers-Cromartie has been a good player in this league, but he has struggled from year to year. As Pete Domelatis from Pro Football Focus told us a couple weeks ago, he's not a very good tackler. He's not good around the line of scrimmage. And he said himself last offseason that he wanted to go to a place that had a lot of structure to help him keep focused on the game and, you know, be a better player. And the Broncos have said, and Jack Del Rio, their defensive coordinator, said that they kept a firm hand with him, you know, to make sure he was coached up hard so that he was as good of a player as he could be. And the tools are there. 6'2", 220, 4.29 speed at the combine. This guy is everything you want out of a shutdown corner that can cover you man-on-man and get the job done. But there are risks. There are also a lot of good things about the signing. He's only going to be 28 years old when the season starts, which means you're going to have him under this 5-year deal for most of his prime years. But here's what I like the most about this deal and this contract. And this is why I'm more positive about it today than I was yesterday. Talking about this deal yesterday, I surmise, based on the other contracts cornerbacks have gotten from Shields to Verner, et cetera, that you'd be looking at a $10 million a year type of deal for Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Well, the Giants got that number down to somewhere between 7 and 8, depending on what incentives he earns and things of that nature. That's value. That's pretty good. So, from that perspective, we talked about it all year long, that the Giants were going to have to make the most out of all of their money they had available to themselves in free agency. And Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie at $7.5 million a year, I'll average it out, is good value. A top corner at that dollar amount is making the most of your money. So I like the deal a lot more today, seeing the details, than I did yesterday when I didn't know what the money was going to be. I think they actually got good value out of Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. And now the Giants have one of the best secondaries in football. Three quality safeties, Anchor Roll, an improving Will Hill, Stevie Brown off of injury, throwing Quinton Demps, throwing Cooper Taylor. A bunch of corners that can play. Prince Amukamara, we know about him, getting better every day. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, a shutdown type of corner. Walter Thurman to play the slot. A young guy in Hosley developing. Charles James off the bench. Tremaine McBride back. Their secondary is nasty. It's very good. And it's set up very well to deal with the weapons on the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Redskins, and the other people on the Giants' schedule. You got to like what the Giants did in terms of getting that secondary better. But I will say this. And we'll get to your calls in a second. We had a full bank of calls 10 minutes before the show started. I've never seen that before. So we're going to try to get through your calls as quickly as possible as we move through the show for the next hour, hour and a half. We'll try to take you up until 11 because then I have a Phil Jackson press conference I need to watch. I am somewhat concerned, honestly, that it seems like the majority of the money spent this offseason and a lot of the contracts and a lot of the improvement has come on defense. Now, I'm not saying that's not a bad thing. Obviously, defense wins championships. We all know this. But this is an offensive league in the NFL. And coming out of last year's dismal 7-9 season, the problem was the offense. And, yeah, new running backs in town, that's great. You add Jeff Schwartz, an excellent guard. That's going to help the offensive line a lot. But Kevin Booth signed with the Raiders, a 2-year deal. So now do you have protection and a backup plan if J.D. Walton can't come in and play like he did the first four games of 2012? What if he plays like he did in 2011, which was a down year for him? Who are your second and third wide receivers? Right now it's Reuben Randall and Jarrell Jernigan. Can you depend on them? Larry Donnell and the JPP of tight ends are your two tight ends on this roster. Can you depend on them? I don't know. So there are still a lot of questions on offense, and that will now be the focus of the Giants in the draft and in free agency, and the defensive line as well, concerning the loss of Linval Joseph and Justin Tuck. So that will be where the Giants point their compass next, trying to improve those other spots. Offensive line, tight end, wide receiver, D-line. That's what you're looking at. But the Giants are better today than they were tomorrow. Kudos for Jerry Reese for negotiating that contract the way he did. Apparently, Cromartie wanted upwards of $9 million when he got here. Not a surprise. He got him down to $7 or $8 million, again, depending on how much money he earns over the course of the contract. Great negotiating job, and even more impressive. And one of the reasons I thought this contract was going to be impossible based on the Giants' salary cap situation, Jerry Reese structured the contract to the point where the first year of the deal, there's only a $2.75 million cap hit, according to reports. That's an unbelievable job structuring the contract by Jerry Reese. Now, I think he did that with a lot of deals this year to try to fit in as many people as he could. Now, that will move some of that money back, but with the salary cap expected to increase over the next couple of years, you can handle something like that. And a lot of dead money coming off the cap from this year. Well, it's not technically dead money, but Chris Snee's going to be off the cap. Eli Manning will be up in a year. Anchar Roll comes off the cap after this year. You'll try to re-sign him, but it'll be for a number less than $9 million when he counts this year. But overall, I think what you've seen in a very aggressive free agent period by Jerry Reese is that he has a sense of urgency. The fire has been lit underneath him by ownership. He knows after not making the playoffs 4 out of 5 years, yeah, there was a Super Bowl in there, I understand that, that it's time to take a step forward. And he wasn't interested in making this a 2-year rebuilding process. No, the Giants want to win next year. And they've put together a secondary that can win next year and a defense that should be able to win next year. Do you worry about pass rush? Sure. There's still holes on offense. Yes, there are. But the Giants are much better right now today defensively than they were when free agency started. And, yes, I know they lost Joseph. I know they lost Tuck. But I think their secondary is that much better where it will overcome those losses, not to mention adding Jameel McClain, a linebacker. So Jerry Reese, sense of urgency, he's gone out there and gotten deals done. And for the most part, except for perhaps the Beeson contract, he hasn't overpaid for anybody either. He hasn't broken the bank. Because a top corner for $7, $8 million, it's a good deal. And Giant fans should be excited. Let's hear from him. It's 201-939-4513. Excuse me, 201-939-4513. I was morphing into my old WFAN days with the 718-937-6666. But again, it's 201-935-4513 if you want to get to us right. 939-4513 if you want to get to us on the phones here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's go to the phones and say what's up to Kashawn down in Maryland. First, haven't heard from Kashawn in a couple of weeks. What's going on?
Hi, John. I finally got through. I'm so happy.
What's going on this morning?
I've been trying to get through the past couple of days, and it's been full.
No problem. Yeah, we had very busy phones, Kashawn.
I know, it's okay. So first, let me start off with the comedy aspect, because I wanted to comment on this on Friday. I just want to say I think Ann is absolutely hilarious. Ann from D.C., I mean, I was in tears on Friday based on her commentary. I mean, every time I listen to the show, because of her crazy comments, she just has me hysterical.
She is also out of
her radio show.
She's also out of her mind, but sometimes
part of the comedy, because it's exactly. So crazy, it's just you can't do anything but laugh.
Now sometimes she goes too far and crosses the line, but other times she can be amusing from time to time.
Yes, which leads me to when she was complaining about Jerry Reese's negotiating skills. How about his negotiating skills signing DRC? I never thought that we would be able to afford him, and I've never been this excited about our secondary. I'm really surprised with Reese. I think he understands. I agree with what you said. I think he thinks his job is on the line, and he's really trying to do a masterpiece. So I'm very excited about the secondary. Great signing. We didn't overpay for him. Excited about that. Which leads me to the draft. Now, here's the million-dollar question. Since, like, your concern is we've addressed so many of our needs toward the defense, and
yeah.
we know that the offense is quote-unquote broken, I think it seems to me that Jerry Reese is trying to put together a great team that can compete next year. Therefore, how about we – what do you think about this? I think he needs to do something different in the draft. We know we still need a defensive end. That's still a very big concern for me. A tight end. And a center. How about, you know, what do you think about Jerry? Maybe because he hasn't done well with the fourth or fifth round. How about he trade one of those fourth or fifth round picks and try to get 2 second round picks so that we can get a defensive end and a tight end and a center all within the first 2 rounds, and we know that those players can contribute immediately.
You know, I'm not sure you would honestly have to trade up from your third round pick into the second round to get a third starter. I think with the depth of this draft, Kashawn, I think if you stay put with that 12th pick in the third round, you should be able to find either an interior offensive lineman or, quite frankly, maybe even a wide receiver, considering how deep that position is, that maybe not start in year one, but should be able to contribute. So I'm not sure you would honestly have to sacrifice that fourth or fifth round pick to get a third starter in this draft. At number 12 in the third round, I believe there will still be starters on the board if the Giants pick the right guys. But I agree. Here's how I look at
it. Okay, and that's another thing, John. We do need a big wide receiver. I think we're very short on the right receiver and core. I love Cruz. I do like Randall, even though he does need to take a step up this year. But I think we need like a 6'2", 6'3". We need a big guy on the outside. And even with the Manningham signing, I mean, you just use him as a backup because I don't know if he's really that healthy. But we need a big guy. So they got to – and that's why I said I thought that maybe we could try to move up, because I just don't want – I always think as the more and more you get past, you know, you start to go into the third or fourth rounds, the talent level decreases. So I'm just trying to get, like, playmaking players because, you know, it looks like we're trying to win now. So – but that's awesome. But we do need a receiver, defensive end, tight end. That needs to be our concern. And because we signed a corner, do you think we'll even draft a corner?
Honestly,
that's it. And thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, Kashawn, thank you very much. And I don't think at this point the Giants will draft a cornerback. Maybe they'll take a flyer later in the draft. Now, if somebody drops and there's great value, yeah, they could think about it. Remember, Prince Amukamara is a free agent next season. So if they draft a corner, they could theoretically let Prince walk and plug in the rookie if you pick him high in the draft. But I think they have too many needs elsewhere to do a future signing, future draft pick, excuse me, with that in mind. To me, with the way this roster sits and the players remaining in free agency, sparing Owen Daniels, who I still think has some value out there at tight end, I believe the Giants will have to use one of their first two picks on a tight end, and that player can come in and start right away. The second pick, you can go offensive line, which I'd be okay with still at this point, whether it's a tackle in the first round, which I'm not a huge fan of. I'd rather pick an interior guy in rounds 2 or 3 that can probably come in and start right away anyway. And then I think you have to consider a wide receiver too. As Kashawn said, I still think, yeah, she's right, you are a little tiny. And the Giants got even tinier at wide receiver, by the way, when they brought in Trendon Holliday, according to reports. Now, he's 5'5", but he doesn't really play receiver, more of a return guy. So the Giants certainly trying to get special teams better as well. Now, Holliday can compete with Quinton Demps, and we'll see about David Wilson, too, coming back from that neck injury. So the Giants making all sorts of moves, and it's exciting. But don't sleep on defensive line either, folks. I would not be surprised if a defensive end came in via the draft in rounds two or three here. I would not. Jerry Reese, just look at his draft history. The Giants understand the importance of pass rush. Now, I know they have Jason Pierre-Paul. They have DeMontre Moore, two guys that have the potential to rush the quarterback. But not sure that's quite enough. 201-939-4513. Stick on the phones. Let's go to Gary down in Florida. Gary, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Josh? My first time calling. I listen to you all the time. I'm originally from Jersey City, so big Giant fan.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in, Gary. What do you got for me this morning?
Well, I just want to say I've been hearing, you know, listening to the show. I think we got to just get Jerry Reese. I'm so happy with what he's done in the free agents. I think he does great in the free agents. The draft, we still yet to see. But I just want to say hats off to Jerry on making these moves. I haven't been so excited in the offseason as a Giant fan in a long time.
Hey, Gary, you're 100% right. The whole point of free agency is to fill as many holes as you can so you're not hamstrung in the draft where you have to pick a guy at a certain spot. And I think for the most part, the Giants have achieved that. I still think there's a pretty big hole at tight end. But otherwise, I think this Giants roster isn't filled with as many gaping holes as it was when free agency started, certainly.
Right, and John, I feel like with this secondary we have. When's the last time we said we had the best secondary in our division? I just feel like this is going to open up Perry Fuse's playbook. Don't get nervous on the defensive end. We might be able to blitz a little bit more with Will Hill and Antoine Roe. Remember, DRC and Antoine Roe, he had his best season when he played with Antoine Roe. I think he's going to be so motivated playing with Antoine back there that you're going to see a different DRC than we've seen in the past.
Hey, Gary, I agree with you, and I think we've talked about why Perry Fuel has been a little hamstrung in the past and how many blitzes he could call because there wasn't a whole lot of confidence in how much the corners could really cover man-on-man down the field. Well, that's out the window now. You got three guys on this roster outside, and then you have Thurman in the slot with Prince and DRC, where all three guys should be able to cover man-on-man. So you're 100% right. Perry Fuel, now maybe if you don't have those, you know, down linemen that can get to the quarterback with just rushing four guys, now you can be more aggressive. You can bring five. You can bring a linebacker. You can bring a safety. You can bring a corner. And you can do more creative things to create and develop a pass rush if you can't get it with just your four down linemen.
Absolutely. John, my last question, and I'm going to let you answer this on air. I'm going to let you go. How do you feel about Bridgewater's performance in his pro day? Do you think a team is going to go for the tight end or for the wide receiver that we're looking for in that first round?
You know, I appreciate it, Gary. Honestly, I did not watch the pro day. I read all about it and how really it was one of the worst quarterback pro days that people have seen in a while. Usually, you know, quarterbacks do great at pro days. They're throwing to their own wide receivers. They're in good conditions. They're at the place where they've played in. They're comfortable. And usually at a good pro day, the ball won't even hit the ground. And it'll just be bing, bang, catch, catch, catch. Now, apparently Bridgewater's passes were sailing a little bit. Accuracy has been a question mark for him in the past as a passing quarterback. I know Pete Prisco over at CBS, who does a really good job watching tape, has been full of questions in terms of his accuracy. So I think it hurts Bridgewater a little bit, to be honest with you. Right now, I think Bortles is the number one quarterback on the board. If I'm picking a quarterback, I'm picking Bortles. That's my guy. But I do think, and this is more to your point, Gary, that any amount these quarterbacks drop in the NFL draft hurts the Giants because you want all three quarterbacks to get picked before the Giants go with 12. So as much talent is there for them when they pick at 12 as possible. So if you're a Giant fan, you better hope that all these teams didn't fall out of love with Teddy Bridgewater. Now, let's not go nuts about the pro day either. It was Kevin Clark, I believe, from the Wall Street Journal, who did a very funny yesterday on Twitter. He tweets out three links. For those of you concerned about Teddy Bridgewater's pro day, remember this? And the first headline was, Blaine Gabbert perfect at pro day. The next one, Brandon Whedon on fire at pro day. And I forget who the third guy was, but it was another quarterback that failed completely at the NFL level. Let's not go nuts about pro days, folks. They really don't mean a whole lot a lot of the time. It's how do you play under pressure with guys coming at you. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Alan down in Miami next. Alan, good morning.
Hey, good morning. One thing, I mean, we all,
Jerry Reese has done a great job, but I think too, just the Giants' aura and just their pride and their history, to, you know, that attracts a lot of people. You know, I saw Lance's interviews with Rashad Jennings and Schwartz, and even with DRC, they just talk about, you know, about the team and about the history of the Giants and Super Bowls. And I think that also helped us in not overpaying, right? You look at a team like Cleveland and Oakland and, you know, places that they have so much cash, they have to overpay so many players just to go there. And I think, you know, coming to the Giants, I think that they're able to kind of get away with a little bit of a hometown discount, you know, as a parallel to kind of bring some of these players in. What do you think?
I think it helps that players have confidence that when they get here, they have a chance to win. And I should have said this in my open. I didn't. I do think the Giants do need to give a big assist to Anshar Roll. I think he played a huge role in convincing Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie this was a place where he could thrive and succeed under Tom Coughlin. Now, Bob Glauber on Twitter, who does a good job, put up the other day how there is some concern from people that know Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie that, you know, his laid-back attitude might not work well under a Tom Coughlin. And I do think that's something you have to keep an eye on, but I believe Anshar Roll and his leadership will help that relationship and get him to build trust and move along. But talking to DRC, look, he's a very soft-spoken guy. He is very laid-back. There's no question about it. His personality in a lot of ways reminds me of Akeem Nicks, to be quite honest with you, just in terms of his demeanor, you know, kind of quiet, soft-spoken. Nice guy. You can tell he's a pretty smart guy, but, you know, he's just kind of a very down-to-earth, soft-spoken type of dude. So I think that is something you keep an eye on in terms of how he relates to a disciplinarian like Coach Coughlin.
You get that, but then again, if he was a little bit more brash and he was out there, everybody'd say he was a jerk. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
You can never win.
100%.
If you're soft-spoken, you're soft, and then if you're out there and you're a guy like Johnny Manziel, I mean, you're a big jerk, no one likes you, and you're going to be an issue. So,
no, that's true.
I'd rather him be laid back and work with Roll and work with these guys. I mean, again, this guy played in the Super Bowl last year. So, you know, him in the Super Bowl, you have Thurman that played in the Super Bowl. A lot of the secondary, like you said, to me, I mean, I just look at Seattle and then the Giants, to me, are at number two. And that helps the front four because now quarterbacks are trying to sit back there and look for somebody to get open. No one's going to be open.
Prince
is not your one anymore. Now Prince can now start guarding number two, even though Prince did a good job with Calvin Johnson and a few other number ones last year. Now he's moving over to that number two receiver. And now that just gives the front line more time to work and get to the quarterback.
No, 100% I agree. Remember, the Seahawks, they lost Brown or they lost Thurman. Who are their second and third quarterbacks even now over there in Seattle? Now, they have a good system where they can plug and play. But in terms of the NFC, I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to find a more talented group in the secondary than what the Giants have. Now, how do they come together and gel? We'll have to wait and see. But in terms of raw talent, I'd have to go through everybody in the conference. But, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I think I'd be hard-pressed to find somebody that has a
maybe
more
New
talented
Orleans, again,
group.
With Bird and Vaccaro. You know, maybe those guys would be all right. But, again, I'm never sold on New Orleans anyway. As soon as it comes playoff time, they got to go outside. To me, they're one of the most overrated teams out there. You can score 500 points in regular season, but if you can't win a playoff game on the road, like, it's hard for me to really get behind them. The last point I'll make is, on the draft, to me, you have to go offense the first couple of picks. And like you said, I mean, defense is pretty much shored up now. Let's go get a tight end. Let's get an offensive lineman. Let's get a receiver. The running back situation looks pretty solid. Again, we have to be optimistic. You can't go into next year thinking, well, this person's not going to be here. This person might play bad like they did in 2011. I think we have to, you know, put our foot forward and say we have a new offensive coordinator, a new fresh mind, a new system in place. I think David Wilson will help, hopefully be back in some capacity, even as just as a third down back. And now you have a three-headed monster at the running back position. You still have Cruz back. You still have Randall. The offensive line has gotten better. Now we just need a quarterback to step up, and that's going to be a big thing. We keep talking about these pieces. Eli Manning has to step up. We can't have 25 interceptions again, even though a lot of it wasn't his fault. But he's got to get through that, and he's going to have to step up and have a big year. And to me, all these pieces around him aren't going to matter unless Eli Manning has a big season next year.
Well, Alan, I agree, and thanks a lot for the call, man. I appreciate it. Yes, Eli has to step up, but I also believe that you need to put the pieces around Eli Manning, excuse me, that will allow him to step up and have a better year. You know, right now, he still, quite frankly, does not have the weapons. He's going to go to war with the same group of wide receivers he had last year. Does that impress you? Doesn't impress me. The running game's going to be a little bit better. The offensive line should be improved. But again, Jeff Schwartz is a big upgrade. But is Chris Knee going to be healthy? They just lost Kevin Booth. How well is J.D. Walton going to play after basically not playing football for 2 years? They're good questions. How is Will Beatty going to come back from that leg injury? You know, if these questions are answered in the negative, who's going to be the tight end? What if they don't draft somebody that ends up being a guy that's ready to play right away? Is Eli going to have the weapons to succeed? I don't know. That's why there's still work to do, especially offensively. Because you're right. All this other stuff is great. If Eli and the offense doesn't put it together, it's not going to matter. You got to score in this league. I don't care what type of defense you have. You got to score. 201-939-4513. Bash is in Ohio. Bash, what's going on, pal?
What's going on with you, John? Got two quick things, and I'm going to let you go.
Cool.
Thoughts on DRC deal. Real first thing I want to say is it's a good deal by Jerry, and I like the two pickups he did yesterday. Very good pickups with DRC and Holiday. I didn't know he was a free agent, but excellent sign. I heard the number that you were saying earlier. The number is a good deal. One question I had about the deal was it was kind of late to me. I thought it was a real late deal, and aspect that 5-year deal, I think, is more day one, day two signing in free agency. Would it be in a week into free agency was kind of a problem with me? And aspect of the number that DRC got, I'm thinking I could have went towards a Werner or Tlaib or Revis if he was looking at those numbers at DRC. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie got about half of what Darrell Revis got. Do I think Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is better than 50% of the corner Darrell Revis is? I certainly do. I think Cromartie is probably just as good as a cover corner as Alteron Werner is as well. So I think the Giants I think he's a better corner than Sam Shields, who got $9 million from the Packers. So I think the Giants, based on what they paid him, I think they got a very good bang for their buck with Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Though, remember this too, Bash, I mentioned the risks that go along with him. I think those risks are the things that maybe scared some teams off of DRC and allowed him to be available for this price for the Giants in week two. If those red flags weren't there, you're right. He would have been gone in day one or day two of free agency.
And also, one more other thing I had to let you go. With the aspect of the free agent fellow, we're looking at the best available now. Four plays that I was looking at, what did you think? And I'm going to get off the phone and let you answer them.
Yeah.
We got the center and Patriot, Wendell, Pat Sampson, DT, Robert Ayers, and wide receiver Miles Austin. I'm going to let you go on those four and see what you think about
Bash, hold on 1 second. I didn't catch which defensive tackle you mentioned there, the second one.
Pat Sims, Robert Ayers, Miles Austin, and a center from the Patriots, Wendell.
No problem. Well, Wendell along with De La Puente are two of the best centers left. But quite frankly, and look, I am loath to try to, you know, figure out salary cap numbers here because nobody knows where the team actually is except for the Giants. And look, the Giants had to get creative just to fit in Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, okay? They had to get Mathias Kiwanuka, if reports are correct, to take a pay cut and save about $2 million just to get DRC underneath that salary cap. And his first-year cap number was just $2.75 million. So, ipso facto, I don't think the Giants have a ton of cap space left, to be quite honest with you. Now, if they want to extend on to a role or something like that to free up some more, they can do that. But I will say this. I don't think the Giants have a ton of more money to spend in free agency, and that's why a guy like Ayers, who's probably going to get a few million dollars a year, I'm not a huge fan of his. I don't think he's a great player. I think someone will eventually overpay for him. Wendell, who I think is a good center, would be a good fit. But again, they already gave $3 million guaranteed to J.D. Walton. I don't think you're going to go out there and spend another, you know, sizable contract in a center, especially after you just invested all this money in Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Now, again, if they restructure a role, we can have a different conversation. And as for Sims, the defensive tackle, I think they're more than happy to go to war with Hankins and Cohen Jenkins. I think Mike Patterson is a guy they'll try to bring back to provide some depth there. They like Marcus Kuhn, a youngster. And then maybe they'll do something in the draft. You can find, you know, one-technique defensive tackles late in the draft. You can. And this draft is actually pretty heavy in terms of defensive linemen, so you should be able to find something. Bash, thanks for the call. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Adrian down in Baltimore. Adrian, good morning.
Yes, how you doing? I am no longer worried about the defense.
Yeah, you shouldn't be. They're stacked.
I've never been so excited about a corner since Jason Seahorn, and I've never been excited about a linebacker since Jesse Armstead. It's like, I can even see how the whole plan is going to work with, like, I mean, the two starting corners would be Prince and me personally, Thurman, then the nickel would be Riders Kamadi. Who's going to throw in between it?
Well, just hold on 1 second, Adrian. The one place that Dominique Rodgers Kamadi has struggled in the past is when he's played in the slot. So I think they'll want to keep him outside. So I think you'll start Prince and Dominique Rodgers Kamadi on the outside. Then when they go three wide, you bring in Thurman and he'll play the slot. That's, I'm 99% sure that's how they're going to work that configuration.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm pretty sure he can work on that. I mean, I know due to off season he can. I mean, since it's one of his weak points, you know, I'm pretty sure he's going to be working on that. I also wanted to say, like, are they going to do a little bit more of blitz packages for us, like with the personnel they got now? Or,
well, Adrian, you know what? You're better, because right now I don't think you have the people on the defensive line, unless, you know, JPP, maybe he returns to his old form from 2011. Maybe DeMontre Moore takes a huge step in his second year. But if those two things don't happen, or even if only one of them happens, you don't have enough game-changing pass rushers that can, you know, get to the quarterback with just rushing four guys. So with all these guys in the secondary now that can cover, I think Perry Fuel is going to have the green light to figure out creative ways to get pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And frankly, he might have to.
Oh, and also another question about what the offensive coordinator, was it McAdoo?
Yes.
Is he going to be doing the whole – I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, from the look at it, I'm thinking that he might be going with, like a run game to start off first, you know, to complement the passing. That's what I'm thinking that he's going towards, if I'm right. I would like that a lot. You know, I feel like the Giants do need to get back to the whole run scheme, the whole – well, if I'm not mistaken, the whole running gun thing.
Well, you know what? Quite honestly, the way Tom Coughlin has always operated, I'm going to take McAdoo out of the equation for a while, has been a power running game, run-first type of guy. He wants to run it, run play action, and then throw the ball down the field. And even though the Giants won the Super Bowl in 2011 and 2012, you almost got the sense that Tom almost didn't like the way they had to do it by throwing the ball a lot. He wants to get back to that running game. So I agree. I think they need to get back to a power running game. They'll do a lot of play action. They'll run some screens, and then they'll try to get the ball down the field. Mixed in with some of the three-step drop West Coast offense stuff that Ben McAdoo is going to bring in from Green Bay. I think it's going to be a combination of all those things together. But I trust me, they are going to have a big running game. They're going to have shots down the field, and then they'll mix in some of McAdoo's stuff.
Man, because I can only just see it. Like, I don't think nobody's going to be doing any screens or anything like that, you know, dealing with this defense that we got now. But thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate the call, Adrian. 201-939-4513. I know this guy's psyched. Victor in Texas. Victor, good morning.
Hey, good morning. You're right, John. I'm ecstatic, man. I mean, this offseason, first of all, Jay Reese, Mr. Reese, general manager of the New York Giants, if you're listening, sir, thank you very much. Thank you very much for giving the fans what they wanted and going out there and getting players and seeing a sense of urgency. And also, Mr. Ancho Roll, I mean, there's not much I can say about this guy. This guy's becoming a true giant. You know, he's going out there and he's lobbying. And the reason he's lobbying is because, let me tell you, the seeds that were sown a long time ago into the Bill Parcells era, you know, those seeds are growing. Yes, the Ray Hanley, Jim Fossil era, they kind of, you know, kind of died down. But the Tom Coughlin era is bringing this back up. And players are coming to our organization. And I say our organization because I root like hell for them. And to our organization because they want to win. And they see the winning attitude. And some people come here for the structure. They made their money when they came in. Now they want structure and they want to be under a winning organization, have a winning attitude. And Jerry Reese just you know, he brings that out in the players as well as Tom Coughlin. And the DRC signing to me is an indication that, you know, we want to win now. We want to win now. We got to win now. And just like Tom Coughlin said, there's a fire lit under everybody right now, and that came from management. But the DRC signing for me is just an indication that we need to win now. Also, looking at the Trendon Holiday signing, this guy is going to be a great toy for Ben McAdoo. Not only can he run back kickoffs, do punt returns, How about throwing an end around with him in there? How about changing that offense up? How about becoming less predictable? I don't know what Ben McAdoo is going to do, but he has a great toy in him. And also you got Quentin Demps in a changeup. He could actually bring back kicks or do punts.
Victor, I agree. There's one thing on Holiday that I didn't mention before, but I should have.
Fumbling.
That dude cannot hold on. That dude cannot hold on to the football.
He fumbles a lot. And you know what? That's why he's got a one-year deal.
Yep.
And I totally agree that. But there's so much upside to him having that one-year deal. He fumbles a lot. I totally understand that. But looking at this team now, and you can see how we've actually changed from, you know, having the front end being the main focus and how our back end is starting to become the main focus, which is just like you said earlier, if we're able to, you know, hold those receivers up, hold that offense up, it'll give that less explosive and experienced D-line chance to get to the quarterback. When in previous years it was always us, you know, the front four always, you know, helping out the back force. I mean, so it's definitely a change, and I kind of like it, you know, but looking at what Jerry Reese did, we still have time to get better in that area. And if you go to the draft, and we talked about this on Twitter, John, if you go to the draft, I firmly believe that, you know, the Giants are going to Eli some toys. Definitely a tight end. We haven't had a very good tight end, and you know, since Mark Bavaro, my opinion.
That's shocky. Shocky.
Shockey was okay, but you know, Kevin Boss was even, to me, he was more of a better blocker than Shockey. But you know, we haven't had that tight end for Eli Manning to actually have that go-to tight end, actually an athletic tight end, not just a blocker, an athletic guy. But also, I'm looking at the D-line. We lost Joseph. You know, we lost Tuck. I mean, we definitely got to look at a guy like maybe Donald, you know, it was Arnold Penn, Aaron Donald, sorry, Aaron
yep,
Donald from Pittsburgh.
Out of
Pittsburgh, right?
Honestly, though, honestly, Victor, I don't see them going defensive tackle in round one. To me, and historically with the Giants, that's a position they've gotten later on in the draft. And mm-hmm. frankly, I also don't think there's any defensive ends that are good enough that would be worth taking at number 12. So I do not see D-line as a first-round thing. I could see D-line as a day two thing in rounds two or three.
Oh, definitely. Personally, I think we go wide receiver. Wide receiver on first day, D-line on second day. Or if we don't get a wide receiver we like, we go tight end first day, you know, D-line on second day, right? And, you know, with the offensive line, a lot of people aren't recognizing this, but we just lost a very versatile guy in Kevin Booth who went to the Raiders. I mean, I don't know how we lost him. I know it was probably a money issue, but, I mean, that's a guy on our line who's actually played all the positions except, I think, for tackle. He's played all the positions, and he was very versatile, and that's what we usually want, versatile offensive linemen. So his loss is going to be, you know, is kind of big for us, even though we shored that position up. And a lot of people are saying that, you know, this team looks great. You got to pump your brakes now. We're just on paper right now. This stuff has to come together. These players have to gel. But it's a start, and that's what I'm excited about. I can't wait to see this team. I'm very excited what's happening right now. I just can't wait for the draft.
Thank you, Victor.
Hey, thank you.
I appreciate it. And look, I think Victor hit it right on the head. Tight end, wide receiver, defensive line. He didn't mention the offensive line. I also think you can get a little bit more depth in that spot as well and get a little bit better. 201-939-4513. Let's stick on our ultra-busy phones. I'm trying to answer as many questions as I can on Twitter. And by the way, about four people, Alan Cepeda had it. A couple other people had it too. I don't want to leave them out. But they all pointed out Davina Elvey and Stu DeMeglio all pointing out that Jamarcus Russell also had an excellent pro day. How'd that work out? Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Frankie in Virginia Beach next. Frankie, good morning.
Hey, how's it going there, John?
What's up, Frankie? How's it going this morning?
Doing good. How's it going, John?
I'm doing all right. What do you got for me?
Well, I got a couple of questions. I've been hearing a lot of callers, and I've been keeping up with the show on Giants.com. I'm interested to know, I know we still got some holes to fill on the O-line. I'm really not sold on Will Beatty, the left tackle. Is there a chance we may restructure his contract to get some more solid guys on the line?
Will Beatty, some of the Giants invested a ton of money in, so I don't think he's going to go anywhere this year. To me, he's going to be out there at left tackle one way or the other, and if he has another bad season, I think that's another move they can make maybe next year if they want to decide to move on from Obidi, but that's nothing that they can do this season. So I think you're pretty much stuck with him outside, but I do think the team needs some more depth and reliable players down on the defensive line.
Right. Well, I was thinking Will Bailey, he's injured right now, though. Isn't he coming off a broken leg?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, right now he's still rehabbing. They do expect him to be ready for, I believe, even mandatory minicamp and things like that. So I think they expect him to be healthy this year. But, again, I think inside, besides Jeff Schwartz, there are a lot of question marks at guard and center on the Giants.
Yeah, especially losing Kevin Booth. I mean, I understand our defense is gelling as far as the secondary. It's good because the secondary was weak. I like Dominic Rogers, Kamardi's signing, and a couple other guys we got, Will Demps. And I'm sure that Stevie Brown and Will Hill still going to be on the team as safety. So the secondary is looking pretty decent. The thing is,
better than
my
decent.
My issue is with that O-line because, like I said, if Eli can't get time to throw the ball, it's all for naught. And that O-line was to me, the main problem last year. And like you say, is there who might we be looking at in the first round, at number 12? Is it Taylor Lewan from Michigan State, or is it somebody else?
Well, you know what, Frankie? I think you made the best case you can make for taking an offensive lineman in the first round. You not only want to get better this year on the offensive line, but it also provides a potential replacement down the road for Will Beatty. Because a guy like Taylor Lewan, or if Matthews happens to fall to the Giants at 12, which I think there's an outside small chance that could happen, either one of those two guys could be your left tackle of the future. If you have lost faith in Will Beatty, or if Will Beatty comes back and plays well, you can always put them at right tackle and move Pugh inside. So you have some options. That's your argument for taking an offensive lineman in round one. I wouldn't love it, but I'd understand it and be okay with it. I think where the Giants really could find the best player available at 12, because I believe Mike Evans is going to be off the board. I think he's going to be a top 10 pick at this point. I think his stock has gone that high. I think Eric Ebron is an excellent pick in the first round. I think he has the physical ability and the wherewithal and the desire to be a blocker, and he is an athletic freak at tight end that can be a difference maker in the middle of the field. So I think Eric Ebron at tight end in round one is a definite possibility for the Giants at 12. I think he'll be on the board, and I think it's certainly somebody the Giants will consider taking at number 12.
Okay, I got two more questions for you and let you go.
Yeah, real quick, Frank.
Is there any chance we may get a running back in a second or third round? I know we got Rashad Jennings. That's a great pickup, but they haven't been sure of Andre Brown, so any idea we might shore up that a little bit?
To me, if you draft a running back, and I'm not saying it's out of the question because of the Wilson injury, you know, Michael Cox is still, to me, a bottom-of-the-roster flyer type of guy. I think you could see a running back. I could see a running back getting picked on day three in rounds 4, 5, 6, or 7, but probably not in rounds 1 through 3.
Okay, and John, final question. The linebacker from UCLA, Barr, is there any chance we might get him with the 12th pick in the first round?
You know what? Since they signed McClain in free agency, I'd probably say it's unlikely. And, you know, Barr's a guy, too, that played a 3-4 in college, and you're going to have to convert him to a 4-3 outside linebacker. You know, you could use him as a situational pass rusher on third down. So, you know, considering the Giants' issues at defensive end, maybe he's a little bit more of a fit there as a third down pass rusher. But, honestly, I don't see them going that way at 12. I'm sure they discuss it. I'm sure he'd be on the board. He'd be part of their discussions there. But I think it's more likely they'll go with an offensive player at number 12, considering how many holes they still have to fill on that side of the ball. Frank, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Frankie. Haven't heard from Frankie in Virginia Beach before, I don't think. Good to hear some new callers today. 201-939-4513. Let's go to R.A. down in Dallas. What's going on, R.A.?
What's going on, young man?
How are you?
Doing pretty well. Pretty happy right now.
I think most Giant fans are thrilled, R.A.
Yes, sir. It's Ra.
I'm sorry, Ra. My fault.
Nah, it's all good. But, yo, check this out. The defense, I think we're pretty good. I think the defensive line is going to be, you know, they're going to be complemented by, you know, the back end, which is going to give them a lot of coverage sacks. I think they definitely need a defensive end. I think they should probably go for Kareem Martin, probably in the third, fourth round from North Carolina. But I'm more concerned about getting a tight end block and Rashad Jennings blocking.
Well, you know what? Rashad Jennings, I think, is a pretty capable pass protector. He had some issues the last couple of years. You know, Pro Football Focus says he could use a lot of improvement in that area. I think he'll be fine as pass protector. I think what the Giants need a tight end, yeah, they needed the guy that can block a little bit. And I think Eric Ebron is a guy that is physically capable of blocking. He has the size and the bulk and the strength to be a good blocker. He's expressed his willingness to become a good blocker. But I believe, considering the fact that they lost Akeem Nicks, Reuben Randall and Jernigan are their 2 and 3 wide receivers. They leave something to be desired, in my opinion. If you can get a playmaker like Ebron at tight end, I think he can mitigate some of those issues at wide receiver and not only help as a blocker, but be a huge weapon for Eli in the passing game.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with you. I love that pick at number 12. And I think maybe in the third or fourth or the second even, they should get a big body wide receiver like a Brandon Coleman or Dante Moncrief, something like that. I think they need to, you know, look in that direction. As far as a running back, they're going to need it. I think so. I think they need to get this kid Jeremy Hill out of Louisiana.
That's going to be a high pick. Jeremy Hill is probably going to go on round 2 or 3 in this draft.
We'll see. There's a lot of running backs out there now.
Well, no, there are. And that's why I think a running back will be there for the Giants in rounds 4 or 5. That can be almost as good as whoever they would get in round 3.
I definitely agree, man. I appreciate it. Appreciate everything, man.
Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for checking in, man. We appreciate it. That's one of our Giant fans surviving down there in Big D. Now, this guy is not a first-time caller. He shakes down in Baltimore. And Shakes has wanted a splash. He's been complaining. He's been upset. And I guarantee you today, Shakes is pretty happy.
Splish, splash. Whoa. Whoa, Jerry. Wow, man. You must have been listening. Because, yes, that's what I was asking for. That's all I've been asking for. And I think a lot of Giants fans been asking for is, can we just make a little headline? You know what I mean? Can we just make something, some type of splash with something to talk about? I mean, all this average players, it gets average results. No wonder why we go 9-7 and all that. So, thank you, Jerry. You did exactly what I asked for. Hey, round of applause for Jerry. Round of applause.
Remember, though, Shakes, the heavy lifting always happens in the draft, a much more important day than anything you ever do in free agency.
Exactly. Me and you had this discussion on Twitter.
Yep.
He has not had a good draft in a while. Somebody brought up that 2007 draft, I think it was yesterday or something, and that was it.
Well, you know, Shakes, and the scary thing about the 2007 draft, even though those guys had a lot of success in their first year, spare Ahmad Bradshaw, the lasting impact of that draft class has been pretty small.
Yeah, and they're gone. All of them are gone now. Steve Smith, all of them.
Aaron Ross.
All of them gone.
Yep, they're all gone.
Yep.
Except for gone. Zach DiAssi.
Hey, he's a giant. And that's another thing that I like about these signings that Jerry brought in this offseason, is they look like giants. They look like true blue giants. Even down to DRC, he looks like a giant. Like he's a giant at heart. You always seen it. That he's supposed to be here. He's just supposed to be here. So now him and Bro, oh, man, this secondary is going to be great because I like DRC and Prince on the outside. And then you got WT3 at the nickel because he was rated high as a nickel back. And then you got McBride at the dime. And then you got James and Hosey as the prospects. Oh, man, and then our safety corps is deep. Woo, yes. And then we got linebackers. Yeah. So now we got to get the, farewell to Tuck. Farewell to Nick. Yeah, everybody know that I love those guys and I wanted them back. I'm mad that they're gone. But like you said yesterday, obviously they have a plan. obviously, like, they know something that we don't. And they wanted to move on because they didn't even offer Knicks a contract, and which is, that's kind of pathetic. But I think he's going to kill in Indianapolis if he stays healthy, because they are loaded over there on talent. And ain't nobody going to be able to double team him over there. It's just too much talent. And, I wanted to get to one more point. The draft. Now, you putting your cards in on Ebron now, huh?
I am close to sliding my chips to the center of the table. They're not there yet, but I am considering it.
Okay, listen, now, you know I was a big Gilbert, and I'm still a big Gilbert fan, but I think now with DRC coming in, I think it's slim to none now. But now you said Evans was going to be picked before us.
Everything I'm seeing in mock draft shakes has Evans going off the board in the top 10. If he's there, I think it changes the equation a little bit. I think you have to look at him. But I think that the tight end is a little bit of a bigger need, and I think Ebron is really a unique athlete at that position that does not come along very often.
The only thing about that is I like the kid from Notre Dame because he's more complete.
Nicholas?
He can block.
Right.
Yes, he can block. And Ebron, I told somebody this on Twitter too, like, they said, well, Ebron can't block? And I said, no, he can't, but he's very willing to. And I like Ebron, but I like the kid from Notre Dame. What's his name? I can't pronounce it.
Travis Nicholas.
Okay, we're going to call him Tien for now.
Okay.
So Tien in the second round, and if we can somehow squeak and get Evans, because 11 players ahead of us, I mean, it's a very deep draft. I mean, we got Clowney, we got about like three quarterbacks that are supposed to be taken. Watson's going to be taken. It's a lot of dudes, so 11 guys. Maybe Evans can make it to us. I don't know. I hope.
Well, we'll see, Shakes.
Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it. 201-939-4513, and I think Evans will be in the conversation there too. Barr could be. You know, C.J. Mosley, I could see also maybe being in the conversation there. Put him at Will. Evans and Lawan. I think those are the guys you're looking at. I've taken the cornerbacks out of the equation. If the Giants add a corner in the first round of the draft, I mean, geez, they might as well play dime every play with all the DBs they'll have. And I do wonder, and Anthony and Phoenix brought this up, what does this mean for the three safety package now? If you have three corners that you really know can cover and you want them on the field, you know, do you put Stevie Brown in the field or do you use Thurmond? I think it's an interesting question. Or do you then use Will Hill as more of a linebacker? So you have three safeties and three DBs, but you put Will Hill next to Beeson at linebacker in those type of passing situations. So, again, Perry Fuel's got a toolbox here, folks. You know, I think he made a lot of not a ton of talent last year, did Perry Fuel. And he did a great job, you know, turning that defense around after a very rough start. But, boy, he's got toys now. He's got fast cars. He's got helicopters. He's got planes. The days of shopping at Walmart for the defense are over, Lennon, Maryland. They decided to go to Bloomingdale's. Pick up a very pricey addition. Oh, Len's on the line. We'll get to him in a second. But, Len, we'll get to the couple guys that were holding before you first. Let's go to Jacob in New York. What's going on, Jacob?
Hi, how are you? I got a couple questions for you. As far as the running, how do you feel that Rashad Jennings and Peyton Hillis is going to do in the combo? I mean, considering that they're both so new and everything.
I think Rashad Jennings will be by far the primary back. I think he'll get upwards of 15 carries a game. I think Hillis will only get a handful of carries. I see Hillis kind of playing that John Kuhn role from the Packers, where he comes in on third down, pass protects, catches a couple balls out of the backfield, maybe does some goal line stuff. That's how I see Hillis's role. I think it's going to be pretty limited, but I think Rashad Jennings will do most of the carrying of the load, and I think he's going to do a darn good job of it too.
All right. Well, we can all hope so, being Giants fans and all. I've been a Giants fan since I was a kid. I have another question for you.
Yeah, what do you got?
Nobody can answer this question for
me.
What do you think Eli Manning is going to do this season, considering that, I mean, the offensive line, they've put work in on it. no doubt. But you got a lot of running quarterbacks nowadays. I mean, how is that going to, you know what I mean? How is it going to, the era for quarterbacks have changed. A lot of quarterbacks now, they run, and they run fast. So what is Eli going to do? How can the Giants keep Eli from throwing a season-high interceptions and keep us Giants fans from looking down at the dirt?
Hey, look, you don't need a running quarterback to win in the league. Look at Peyton Manning last year, got to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady got very far. You know, pocket passers are really still the way to go to win in this league, in my opinion. I think the offensive line is better, Jacob. I don't think it's where it needs to be quite yet. I still think you need to add a little bit more talent for me to feel very confident about that group. I don't think their work there is quite done. And frankly, I still want to give Eli another weapon at tight end and wide receiver. I think he needs someone else to throw to, because right now teams are going to keep double-teaming Victor Cruz, and do you trust Jernigan Randall and whoever's playing tight end to be able to take advantage of that? I wouldn't feel great about that. So I think the Giants still have some work to do at the skill positions on offense outside. I really do. And until I see what they do there, I can't guarantee you what type of year Eli's going to have. Now, I will go out on a limb and guarantee he's not going to throw 30 picks. I'll say that. He'll be better than he was last year. Will he be back to his 2011 form? I got to wait to see who else they add on offense in terms of weapons first.
Right, right. Yeah, I love Eli, man, and it's been hard to watch, but I have high hopes for him. I know he can do it. what do you guys plan on? What is the deal with David Wilson? Is he not going to return, or is he just done?
I think that's a wait and see. It was a serious injury, a serious surgery. It's going to take some time for him to heal. I don't think we're going to know anything on David Wilson until the middle or end of the summer. So I think Giant fans are going to have to be patient when it comes to number 22.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your time, and I want to say goodbye to Justin Tuck and Hakeem Nicks. They're sorely missed. And let's go Giants, man. I hope they make it.
I appreciate the call.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
201-939-4513. Stick on our phone. Let's go to Mike down in Dallas. Mike, what's going on? Good morning.
Hey, you remember me.
I do, Mike.
Hey, man. I hope every Giant fan out there plans on winning every game 14-10, because – we still got receivers that can't get separation. We still got a line where, you know, Eli still probably can't step up and throw the ball. You know, don't get me wrong. I like to sign him, too, just as much as everyone else, but I'm sitting there looking at it like kind of having a panic attack about it because we still don't have any linemen.
Well, Mike, and I think that's a good point, and that was one of the reasons yesterday when we talked, I didn't think the deal was going to happen, because even if the Giants did have the resources to bring in a contract of that size, my thought process was that I'd rather go and use those resources on the offensive side of the ball, since they had so many issues last year. And frankly, they've only brought in a couple of guys to help in Jennings and Schwartz.
Well, not to say, you know, we lost Booth, who is, you know, can play center or guard. So it's like we're down, you know, the one lineman that I liked in our middle is gone. The other guy is coming off injury. You know, I still think we got massive problems. So, I mean, unless we plan on winning 14-10 every game, you know, I still don't see how we're not in trouble. I mean, yeah, we get a tight end, but like I said, Randall doesn't get a lot of separation. Who knows what Jernigan's going to do? And, you know, what happens if one of these guys gets hurt?
Well, that's why I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a tight end and a wide receiver to the Giants in two of their first three or four picks. I would not be surprised by that. And by the way, a guy we've talked about a lot on the show, James Jones, is now off the board. So that was an option that was out there for a veteran wide receiver that's no longer available.
You know, like I said, you know, our broken offense still seems pretty broken to me. You know, we've done nothing. You know, the big issues we had, we still have. And so while everyone's all excited, I'm sitting here down in Dallas having a panic attack.
Well, Mike has come along and taken a big old bucket of cold water and just poured it all over the first hour of this program.
You know what, though? It had to be done. I mean, hey, let's get out of La La Land here and realize, you know, hey, this is an offensive league. And we got a ton of defense. That's great. But, you know, teams are still going to score on us. I mean, we're not going to be the 86 Giants here.
No, Mike, look,
well, I don't know.
I agree. I think there is a lot of, you know, truth to what you were saying. I really do. I think the offense still needs a lot of help. And until I see what type of help comes in, whether it's, you know, additional people in free agency or the draft, I think it's, you know, very difficult to predict how effective this offense is going to be. Look, a change in systems can only help so much. you need the toys, you need the talent, you need the weapons. And right now, I agree with you. I think the Giants are lacking a little bit.
I mean, hey, you know, our receivers, maybe we can get by, you know, get thrown in the draft, whatever. But, you know, we can't go without the line. I mean, Eli's still going to get killed in the center there. He's still going to have to, you know, not going to be able to step up in the pocket. Yeah, we picked up one great piece, but we're missing two pieces still.
Well, I think the Giants believe that J.D. Walton, the center from Denver, can be a good starter. I think we'll have to wait and see, you know, how he comes back after missing all that time with that ankle injury. But I think the Giants believe he can be a very effective starter at center. We'll have to wait and see if that's true. I think it's a risk and a dangerous game being played by the Giants in that regard, but they seem to think that he will be an answer at center.
Well, we're depending on a guy who's had four good games in 3 years. No, that's what we're depending on now.
And like I said, yeah. I think there's some risk to it.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of risk to it. All right, well, you know, I'll hang up. Tell me what you think.
Thank you, Mike. No, Mike, look.
Thank you.
I understand where you're coming from. I really do. I think there's still a lot of things you got to worry about on offense. And by the way, my guys on Twitter always keep me honest. And I made this mistake a couple times this offseason. Troy Nicholas. Nicholas from Notre Dame. Not Travis. Excuse me. Correct. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to our phones and say what's up to Len in Columbia, Maryland, who's now trotting out of Nordstrom's after doing some high-priced shopping.
Hey, there you go. Listen, let me reiterate something that I said earlier. How are you doing this morning, Jerry?
I'm doing well, Len. How are you?
Good. Feeling good. Jerry's done a good job. We've gotten better at a lot of positions, at least on paper. And as a couple of fans have alluded to, hopefully these guys are healthy and can play. You know, the question is whether the losses of Joseph and Tuck and so forth, the guys we lost, are going to override what we've gained. But, God, we got 10 defensive backs. If anything, it doesn't force us to have to, you know, force Stevie Brown onto the field if that knee isn't quite right. We can put him on the PUP list at least preseason. And, you know, and we've got some depth there, and it looks real good, you know, looks real good. But, hey, John, it's not Nordstrom's. You know, Nordstrom's and Neiman Marcus guys are either transitioned, franchised, signed before you even get to free agency, or they go in the first hour.
Dominique Rogers-Cromartie is a legitimate number one corner in the league, Len. I know there are red flags, and I've talked about him over the course of the show, but that is a big-time signing.
I'm not knocking that, really. It's a great sign. It's a big-time signing. I'm just saying when you do, and Jerry has, and maybe this is a change in philosophy about how we view the cap and how we manage the cap, but, you know, it's like when you buy a house. I mean, it's not based upon what money you're making now, $133 million in your cap. It's how much you're going to have next year, $145 million, and how much you're going to have the next year, $155 million. I mean, it's we got a salary coming in. We're able to buy a house because we can kind of mortgage the future a little bit. Not that it's going to put us in trouble, but, I mean, great job by Jerry on this signing. I'm just saying, let's not – I think we – with these signings, John, I think we got back to legitimately be able to talk about 8-8. Getting to 10-6, John, is what happens from today – on the offensive side of the ball.
I think you're close to 9-7, to be honest with you, Len, with what you've done on defense. But I think to win the NFC East, there still has to be work that needs to be done on offense. I agree.
It's what we do. And, again, you know, and I keep harping on this, those young veterans coming through. You know, let's remember, we're minus 56 receptions on offense. How are we going to make up those 56 receptions?
And then throw on Brandon Myers receptions too, by the way.
Yeah, 40. Like I've said, if you throw, just to exaggerate the situation, if you throw Pascal in there, we're talking about 120 receptions. Jeez, that's a lot of receptions, John.
That's true.
You know, we got to figure out how we can make that up. Here, preliminary goals, John. I want 320 completions from Eli next year, and I want 30 touchdowns. Is that on the roster?
Do I think with the current roster the Giants have, can Eli throw for 4,000 yards and get 30 touchdowns? No, I don't think he can.
Well, not not with what we got now.
No, I agree.
So, again, you know, get to that 10th, to win the NFC East, to get from 9-7, let's use your number, to get from 9-7 to 10-6 and win the East, we got work to do today through the draft. But, hey, pat Jerry on the back for me.
Hey, and the beautiful thing, Len, is not, and it's not even that, it's that he's a great player, and he is a very good player, but the value at which he got him, the way he structured the contract, he negotiated his number down. It's just a $3 million cap in the first year, $275, whatever the reports are. You know, that is a very good job done by the general manager right there. It really is.
You know what? You can use your retail store. I'll use mine. You can move from Walmart to Macy's when you use creative budgeting, John. And that's what the Giants have done here. Terrific job. I mean, really, terrific job.
But, well, Jerry Reese,
you know,
fortunately, Len.
Nate, you see,
Len, fortunately, Jerry Reese had that 25% off friends and family discount at Macy's, and he took advantage of it with Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. It worked out.
That's exactly what he did, John. It's exactly what he did. Hey, let me say one more thing. You know, I'm not a big pay cut guy. I'm a big restructuring guy. I'm not a big pay cut guy. You know, Kiwi, geez, you cut a salary in half. I mean, you know, in that situation, maybe if we're putting that expectation on Kiwi that he's going to be worth half of what he was worth next year, if he plays up to his potential to match that pay cut salary, geez, maybe we were better off just cutting the guy.
No, you know why? Because I think the Giants believe he can play a little bit better, Len. And I think that salary gets cut based on his performance last year, not necessarily on what you think he's going to do this year. You know what I mean?
Well, I just see it. I mean, he's got to be smarting over that, John.
You know? Look, I get it. But look, Len,
does he play down to the $2 million or up to where we thought he was going to be?
No, I think this lights a fire in them. I'm sure they went to Kiwi and said, look, Kiwi, if you're not going to take
–
and we've had this conversation before when it comes to pay cuts. And by the way, for all the people out there that always complain about these players don't take pay cuts, I haven't heard one person call up today and give Mathias Kiwi credit today, by the way, for taking a pay cut to give the Giants the opportunity to sign a guy like Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. So that's number one. Number two, the reason they were able to get Kiwanuka to take that pay cut, if these reports are correct, is that they were willing to cut him. Just like you said, Len, they said to Kiwi, look, we know on the open market you're not going to get, you know, more than a couple million a year. So take the pay cut, stay here, and we'll work it out. And Kiwi looked at his option and said, you know what, they will cut me. So he decided to take the pay cut.
I think you said something very important there, and I think this is what that union management, that collective bargaining is all about. In a situation like this, I think what the union is saying, John, is that the player gets to decide what he wants to do, take the $2 million pay cut or say no, get cut, and go onto the open market. And that's about, you know, with these contracts, I mean, these contracts aren't guaranteed, John. They're a series of one-year contracts that if you match expectations of management, you get that year's salary. If you don't match expectations, management begins to think about how can we get out of this? What can we do? The best the union can do is put it and get it so that it's really in Kiwi's hands. Should I just say to the Giants, no, I won't take a pay cut, put me out into the open market, I don't care, or should I take the pay cut? At least the player gets the choice, John. But I'm not a big fan of pay cuts. I just don't think in the long run it works out. Hey, and that guy Holiday can run, John. Oh, my gosh. If there's a guy faster in the league than Holiday, I'd be hard-pressed to find
now,
him.
Now, all he needs to do is figure out how to hold on to the football and run really fast at the same time. If he can do that, he'll be okay.
Yes, absolutely. You know, even toward the end of the season, Denver was shying away from him, John.
No, 100%. And in the playoffs, in fact, he rarely returned punts or kicks for them because of that.
Well, they couldn't risk it in a big spot, John. It's okay in September, but not in January.
And you know how Tom Coughlin loves guys that fumble, Len.
Oh, my gosh.
He's their favorite.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Perry must be feeling great this morning.
Yeah.
I think his background is defensive backs, isn't it? Didn't that when he first joined Tom in Jacksonville, I think he was the defensive backfield coach.
You know what, Glenn? I used to know that. I've forgotten it since. I'll have to check it out. What Perry Fuell's position coach was before he was at DC.
I'm pretty sure I'm right on that one.
I think you're right, too. I believe he was a secondary guy.
And we're going to see a lot of creativity. Hey, let's go, Jerry. Let's go offense. Get us to 10-6. Protect our biggest asset in Eli. Let's go, Giants.
Thanks, Len.
It feels good to be a Giants fan. All right, buddy. Thank
appreciate
you.
It. Bye-bye. And I got a couple people asking me about cap space on Twitter, you know, trying to give me numbers that the Giants have left under the cap. I'm not playing the game. I got burnt doing it once. I'm not doing it again. We don't have official numbers on these contracts. The NFLPA website, which is the best resource, is not updated with a lot of these contracts. So we're going to have to wait and see. But based on the fact that they had to renegotiate Kiwi to fit Dominic Rogers Cromartie underneath, which appears to be what happened if reports are correct, I can't imagine they have a ton of money left. Now, they're going to get that $5 million from David Boss after June 1st, which will give some flexibility. But I don't think they have a ton right now at their disposal. But again, that's me speculating. I don't know what the numbers are. In fact, nobody knows what the numbers are except for the New York Football Giants. And, yes, he was a defensive back coach in Jacksonville, St. Louis, and Chicago. So, good call, Len. You were right. 201-939-4513. I got three calls on the line. We're going to take those three callers. Then we're going to say toodaloo. Let's go to Anthony out in Phoenix, Arizona. Anthony, what's up, buddy?
Oh, boy. Don't let anybody throw a bucket of water on this day. this is a great day for a Giant franchise that's signing a DRC. You have to admit, John, we never saw that coming. I mean, I was on line with you yesterday and listened to the show, and like you, I was thinking, you know, after the signing of Demps and Thurman, you know, that DRC signing, I didn't think would ever happen. And to use Len's analogy, you know, Jerry Reese used the rollback prices at Walmart yesterday and signed DRC. What a great, great day, guys. Look, and we need to live in the moment, okay? Everybody, you know, Len's getting a little negative there, and we don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. Jerry Reese, let him do his thing. And kudos to the Mara family and the Tisch family for letting Jerry Reese take off the gloves and go get what we need to make the Giants respectable and respected not only in the East but throughout the NFL as like we are as a big franchise. And I don't know what you're thinking about the draft, John. I'd like to get your thoughts. I know we've been going back and forth with Ebron and Lawan and so forth. If those two are available, which I don't think both of them will be there, but if they're two, both of them are available, I'm leaning towards Lawan. And I'll tell you why. I think we can get Nicholas in the second round. And I'd like to get your thoughts after I finish here. If Lawan is gone and Ebron is there, well, we'll take Ebron. But my thinking is if Lawan is there, we want to take him because we can get Nicholas in the second round, and I really think that. If not, if Ebron is there, and then we can get Yankee in the second round. He's a center. I'm a little worried about the center position, as you are. We don't know how he's going to come back from the injury. So I'm a little concerned there. And you're right. We need to reassure that offensive line. We need another player there, another player that we can depend on. And that's why I'm leaning towards Lawan in the first round. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? I get where you're coming from. You know, looking at reports, even though, you know, Troy Nicholas was a good blocker, rather has the size to be a good blocker. Apparently he wasn't that great of a blocker at Notre Dame from the stuff I've read about him. Now he has the physical ability to do it, obviously. I get taking the offensive lineman in the first round. And I think the reason I would wait until round two or three and take a guy that can start inside rather than taking that blue-chip tackle, I still think you have something in Will Beatty. I think you have a guy there that can be a starter, a tackle, and be fine and do a good enough job. A lot of people don't think that. And if you don't believe that, then you want to take a tackle in the first round, I get it. Here's the other reason I think that Ebron's a better pick in round one. You don't get a physical freak tight end like Ebron coming out in many of these drafts. You get one every 4 or 5 years. It seems like every year you're going to have at least one or two offensive tackles that you can pick in the first round, and you know they can step in and probably start for you. Now, with the Giants picking a lot of times at the end of the first round, is that the case? Maybe not all the time. But I think Ebron's a more unique player that'll be hard to replicate down the road, which is why at this time, and I'm not committing yet, but at this time I'd be more apt to think about Ebron in round one and finding a starting offensive lineman around two or three, considering how deep the draft is in that position.
Right. What do you think about a Yankee as a center?
I think Yankee's more of a guard from what I understand. I don't think he's played a ton of center in college. He's listed as a guard. I mean, you can always train a guy to do it, I suppose. But from what I understand, Yankee is primarily a guard coming out.
Okay, good. You know, and with all these signings that we have, I tweeted earlier, as you mentioned, about the three safety package.
Yeah.
I really liked that. I really excited. Terry Fuel's got to be really excited about that. I mean, we could put Will Hill in there and have him blitz. You know, Stevie Brown, downtown Stevie Brown's going to have like 10 picks. That'll be fantastic. Our defense is going to be awesome this year. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really excited. So don't let anybody throw a bucket of water on this day. This is a great day for the Giant fans and Giant franchise.
Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. And I'll say this about the three safety package. I think you want your three corners on the field, because I don't want to see Anchor roll in that slot spot anymore. I really don't, guys. He's a safety. Don't make him play corner. He had his best year as a Giant last year because he played safety and not corner. And the one time he had to put him at corner, the Giants gave him a big touchdown to Dallas at the end of that game because he had trouble with Cole Beasley and Dez Bryant. Now, it's not Roll's fault. They put him in a tough spot. He hadn't even practiced in that position all year. I'm not blaming him, but I want to put him in the best spot for him to succeed at corner. I mean, at safety, excuse me, not at corner. So the way I see that three safety package lining up is, rather than having one of those three safeties replace a cornerback, you have Will Hill replace a linebacker, and you slide Stevie Brown back there with Ancho Roll. So you have Beeson, or if you want to have Jaquan or Paysinger out there as your, you know, one linebacker in that formation, that's fine too. They're better against the pass. You know, you put in with Will Hill in the other line of scrimmage, who's a good tackler, good against the run, and then you run out your three corners, DRC, Prince, and Walter Thurmond, and then you have Brown and Roll deep, and I think that's how you go to war in those spots, and I think that could be a pretty effective package. 201-939-4513. I got two callers to go. We're going to go to Brooke in Taiwan first, since, well, he's calling from Taiwan. Brooke, good morning. How are you?
How's it going today, John?
I'm doing great, Brooke. How is it out in the Far East?
It's awesome, man. It's awesome. It was 30 degrees, probably like 82, 84 degrees Fahrenheit today.
Oh,
great weather.
So, I
don't mean to rub it in.
No, Brooke, that's fine. So what is it, about like 9 o'clock in the evening there, give or take?
Yeah, it's 10:46, actually.
Got it.
For 13 hours patio.
13 hours. I wasn't sure if it was 11 or 13. What do you got?
I'm not going to sit here and beat the drum about how awesome our free agent signings is. I think the last two callers have done a great job of that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy. But I really would like to talk about what I've seen the last 2 years and my observations about the Giants front office. And I don't want to just put it all on Jerry Reese. It seems to me, John, that our personnel folks in the front office who handle NFL affairs, like scouting the other teams and looking at possible free agents, do a pretty good job. Because last year, we were able to bolster our run defense by signing, you know, the D tackles from Philly, Patterson and Cullen Jenkins. Starting out with Dan Connor at middle linebacker, we were able to bolster our run defense a little bit by free agency. So Reese and co. have shown me, at least, a really good job of being able to address needs in the offseason via free agency. Conversely, I think most of the callers would agree, and I think you would too, that his draft record has been a little bit middle of the road. And we can throw out injuries for a reason for that, but hey, guys get injured. That's the NFL. Now, I want to ask you the question. If you agree with me, John, is there a point of emphasis in the Giants front office with the NFL side more so than the scouts?
Do you believe that there
might be more talented people handling those situations?
I don't think there's a point of emphasis. I think both sides are very important. If you remember, Dave Gettleman used to be the pro personnel guy the last couple of years.
Correct.
Before he retired and then took the GM's job in Carolina. So no surprise the Giants were good there, considering what a good professional Gettleman is, and he got that big job in Carolina, much on the recommendation of Ernie Accorsi down there. And now it's Kenny Sternfeld and Matt Schauger and, you know, their crew up there. You got Buckets and, you know, Timmy McDonald up there handling all that stuff in pro personnel. So, you know, they do an excellent job.
They're the guys that really do the work. You know, they do the scouting. They go see the players, and they recommend players to Jerry.
Yeah, correct. They do the work in the off season in terms of, you know, free agency and pro personnel during the year. If you have to fill a roster spot, those are the guys that know who's on the street with NFL experience that you can bring in and help. They also are in charge of doing the scouting opponents over the course of the year as well.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, that's great insight. Thanks a lot. All right, so I just want, you know, I wanted to bring that up. And then the other one is obviously about the draft. I just heard what your comments about, you know, about Ebron and Luan. I really think, John, I'm a Blue Squared fan. I'm a big Blue fan, New York Giants, for about 25 years. And I've been Michigan Wolverines fan for the same amount of time. And I've watched Taylor Luan play every single football game of his college career because he's been a four-year starter at Michigan. And that kid is the kind of kid that we need to draft. Because I know what he's made of personally through coming back, being a Michigan man. And I think the Michigan man mantra translates into what Big Blue is as a team culture. And that kid's a finisher. He plays through the whistle. He plays tough. He plays nasty. And that's something that, you know, I think even in our championship year, that our offensive lines have been missing. We don't have a little bit of a sting with our offensive line. I think we've been a cohesive group. I really hope that we get to draft this kid. Now, if we end up with Ebron, I'll be happy too because he seems to be a pretty elite talent. But I'm going with Luan if he's on the board, John. What do you think?
Honestly, I'd be okay with Luan. I just think you're leaving a lot of holes there around Eli Manning in terms of weapons. And I think you can get somebody in round two at wide receiver that'll help you, but I don't think you're going to get the difference maker that you could get by picking somebody like that in the first round. Now, I would definitely look at Luan. I think he'd be an excellent pro. I think he'd fit in right away. I think he'd start right away. And I think he'd improve the offensive line right away. So would I be sit here on that Friday morning and be upset that the Giants took Taylor Luan out of Michigan? No, I would not be upset. But I just think right now in terms of guys for Eli Manning to throw the football to, the cupboard is a little bare. I don't think there's a lot of resources left in free agency. I don't think there are a lot of good targets in free agency, even if the Giants had the money. So I just think that they're going to have to use those premium picks to get people in here to help Eli a little bit in terms of giving him somebody to throw the football to.
When we talk about helping Eli, well, how about helping Eli stay clean and not running for his life this year?
No, that's fair,
watching too. Last year, you know, I felt bad for Eli. I think I put a lot of last season on Eli's shoulders as well. I'm not just let him have a you know, carte blanche with it, but, you know, that was the offensive line was the most porous I've ever seen it for us. So I'm going to let you go and let you get to the other callers. John's good talking to you. I'll talk to you around the preseason again, man.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Brooke. I appreciate it. I'm sure that's not a cheap call for you out there in Taiwan, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. We love getting our calls from overseas. Haven't heard from one of our buddies out in England in a while. It's tough, though. You could call and the phone's busy. I got to imagine they still charge you for that, don't they? Vonage? Isn't that what the Vonage thing is? You know, you call long distance for free? I don't know. 201-939-4513. By the way, I should mention Verizon Wireless, the official wireless retailer of the Giants. Just saying. I don't want to get into trouble. Final call of the show is Derek down in Atlanta, Georgia. Derek, what's going on, pal?
Good morning, John. I just wanted, you know, call and give my little kudos to Jerry Reese. You know, I called you a couple of times talking about I didn't want him to sit on the fence with free agency and play it safe. It looks like he's, you know, not playing it safe. And he's actually going out and trying to compete in this division and get us some weapons and tools.
Now, Derek, you're right. And I think one important thing Giant fans should realize, too, they're able to sign these contracts and push a lot of that first-year money back later on these contracts, because everyone understands the cap in the next 2 years is going to go up significantly for the next 2 seasons. So you can push some of that money back and not really endanger your cap in 2015 and 2016 because you know the number is going to go up anyway.
Yeah, and I think that for the offense, I think we still have a few options in the offense. We're going to get a tight end, whether it's going to be like a Ed Dixon or we pick a wide receiver in a first-round draft. You know, if Evans is not there, I think we have a lot of options. I think we can drop back down, get Zach Martin that fulfills the inside guard that we need, and he could possibly go to tackle if we need. We don't need a 100, you know, catch, receive, reception, wide receiver right now. I think if we get Eric Ebron and then we go get a professional number two, and they're out there. You know, there's still Sidney Rice. There's still Centennial Holmes. There's Lance Moore. There's wide receivers out there.
Well, in fairness, I don't think any of those guys are number twos, Derek. I think all those guys you just talked about right now in their careers are probably more like number threes. Just say.
Well, you know, they don't have to catch 100 balls is what I'm saying. Is that, you know, they can come in and I think they can play a part and just push, you know, the receivers that we already have on staff here. And as far as, you know, if we don't, we decide to go offensive line first, the first round, I think there's a tight end that's in the draft that we, you know, no one's talking about, but I think he'll fit right in here with the Giants, and that's C.J. Fedorowicz.
Yeah.
The guy can block, and, you know, he can run routes. And I think, you know, we can open up that middle and get about 40, 45 passes from him, get 45 passes from a number two wide receiver, and then have Cruz do his thing. I think we'd be fine. We're going to go back to the, you know, power rushing game, and I think we're looking really good right now.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny you bring up Fedorowicz. He's really considered overall the fifth best tight end in this draft. You know, people consider him kind of a late second-round pick, you know, maybe early third round. He's a big kid out of Iowa, 6'6", 265. And once you get past this Austin Seferian-Williams, you get past the Ebrons, you get past, you know, the Nicholas kid from Notre Dame, you get past the Jason Morrows, he really is the next guy and really, I think, the last guy in this draft class that you can, you know, picture coming in and playing right away. And I do think if you want to wait for round three and hope he's still there, I think that's a guy that could be a target in the middle rounds if you don't want to use a first or second round pick. I think that's a very good name you threw out there, Derek. I agree.
Yeah, and I think, we're playing to what the draft is deep in. We're deep in offensive line. The draft is deep in wide receivers and deep in tight ends. So we're going into the we're going in there. And, you know, Jerry, you know, he always could pull a DN out of the line. So we drop back and take a D Ford or a Clowney Ely. It wouldn't surprise me either.
Honestly, I don't think either Ely or Ford is good enough to pick at 12. I do think you can consider trading down and taking
back
one of those guys.
Yeah.
And I think same with Zach Martin. If you want to trade back five spots and take a Zach Martin, I'd be okay with that too, especially if you can pick up an extra third-round pick, you know, to fill one of those many holes the Giants will have in offense. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, well, that's all I wanted to say today. And, I'm glad that this is we're shaping up to compete with the Eagles. I think, you know, the teams have been kind of getting rid of the ball real fast on us now, so maybe we're changing our philosophy where we're more athletic, and we got more athletic in the last few days. So, you know, maybe we could compete with these screens and these bubble screens and everything that everybody's running on us. Have a good weekend.
All right, Derek, appreciate the call, man. Good stuff as always. An excellent job by all the callers today. Thank you very much. Good job on the phones by Dan Salamone. And a lot of fun today. A lot of excited Giant fans. Good to hear. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning. We're working on a very special guest. We'll see if we can pull something like that off. But we're hoping to have a couple other people join us over the course of the week right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com every weekday morning at 9:30. Make sure you stay tuned as we continue covering the Giants in free agency. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Giants.com. Have a great day.